Monday, uh-huh. 1 day. Tuesday, 2 day. Wednesday, when? Huh? What day? Thursday!
She said it because of his wet blanket energy. Unhinged. All right, guys, we have Victoria Jameson here. You know her from Zach's season of The Bachelor. Victoria, welcome to She's All Batch.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
I'm so excited to chat with you. You and I have definitely become friends via Instagram and TikTok. And when we went through our whole Gossgate, you had such great advice for me because you come from like the influencer world. And I just really appreciate you. And I'm so glad that we finally get to like sit down and chat.
I know, me too. I saw all your stuff about the whole brand partnership exploded. And I was like, yeah, this is what we hate to see. So I had to give my 2 cents.
I know. And you have such good wisdom because you're such a pro. But it's not about me or Goss. It's about you. Tell us how you got on the show. I know that you had a lot of attention when you were first announced for a specific reason. So why don't you share with the class?
Okay, so I got married, as one does, in Texas when I was 25, and I found myself divorced at 28, turning 29. And at that point, I moved to downtown Fort Worth. I grew up in a suburb of Fort Worth, so I moved to be close to my best friend and have like a support system. And I didn't know anyone in Fort Worth when I moved there. And her like group of friends from her husband's law school, everyone watched The Bachelor every week. And I had never had that. I think girls in my sorority watched it growing up, but
yeah,
I had never really watched the show. And so I just started showing up at these Bachelor nights for like socialization. Like I didn't know anyone. It was probably to make food. And I was the only single one there. So everyone kept saying, wouldn't that be so crazy if like you were on The Bachelor? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be so crazy.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to me, someone nominated me. So I'm trying to think. Okay, the story is so like, I know Susie from MySpace days. Like, we were Warped Tour kids together. We go way, way, way back. So when Susie was cast on Clayton season, that's when I was like, okay, like, if Susie's doing this, like, this must be like, cool. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're like negative things about reality TV. And when I saw Susie doing it, I'm like, okay, Susie's a real one. Like, if she's doing it, like, there must be something to it. Like, it must not be that bad. It must, I don't know. Like, I just trust her. So I ended up going through casting. I also realized that I went to college with Sierra's younger or older sister. So I like had all these weird connections and that kind of like snowballed into me getting cast on the season.
Well, so did you, so you were submitted, did they call you and then you had to go in and do like the interview process?
Yeah. So I went through like the whole casting. I think there's some people that get like expedited, but I was like in casting for months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was that summer that season of Paradise was airing. I think I was a little bit surprised that I would be cast on a season with someone considerably younger than me. I think typically, I don't know, do 25, 26 year old dudes want to date 30 year old divorcees? Probably not, like on average, I would say. So I think when that happened, I was like, okay, you know, I'm just going to go into this, have fun, see if there's a spark. And if not, not a big deal. Not going to be too butthurt about it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I feel like The Bachelor is less about casting like all potential options for Zach and more about maybe casting 4 or 5 that they actually think he would like. And then girls that like either fill a character or, you know, make good TV or whatever it is that they're looking for. I wonder, like, you have the social media background. They probably wanted you to be a face that comes on the show and could potentially promote the show.
Yeah, I guess I had that thought, but then there's such a negative connotation with social media and influencing like on screen for the show.
Yeah.
So I didn't really go into it thinking that's why they cast me. I was actually shocked that I got cast because of my following. Like, I have a massive social media footprint and I feel like that's been a liability for them in the past. So when I like actually got through casting and was like flying out for the show, I was like, this is crazy because I'm not well versed in the history and lore, but like, I'm not aware of anyone that's gone into the show with like a career and platform on, I don't know, like
I, yeah, think I remember people Hannah G was a content creator on Colton season. I feel like they have to expect it now, though, in today's world. It's inevitable that people are going to be doing that as careers. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think this season, it was very refreshing looking at the girls going out of Joey's season, because there are definitely girls that had platforms going into it. And I was like, I'm just glad to see it, because I think there's such a negative, or just historically, there's been such a like a, oh, you're just doing this for the followers. But I kind of felt more confident going into it, knowing that like I've built my platform being myself and, you know, doing that for 8 years. And it's not my only income source. It's, you know, part of my business. So I think I kind of felt like if anyone comes at me for doing it for followers, it's like, no, I actually lost followers in the process.
Oh, really?
Because I had to take a long break. Yeah. With the whole filming process, I, you know, wasn't able to post, and it was hard on my like presence or consistency.
Yeah. Did they have any say over when the show was airing that you couldn't do brand deals?
Yeah. So that has been a pretty impactful part over the last year. I think that's like pretty well known that, like, you know, it's kind of, they don't want you to profit off of being on the show. Like I 100% get that. If someone gains a million followers in, you know, the 3 months the show is airing, and then suddenly they're doing ads for like a sex toy company, like, I'm sure ABC would be like, whoa, like, not okay. I did feel like it was a little unfair, just because it's already part of my business, that like, I wasn't able to maintain that. I did play by the rules though. And so, it was a little challenging during that time period. I went back to bartending. I was like, just skirting by for a little bit.
Right. I want to get to the influencer stuff a little bit later, but when the cast was announced, obviously you hard launched your divorce, and that made headlines. Did you do that knowing that that would get media attention? Did you expect media attention? Were you surprised by the reaction?
So I think there's like the part of me that has gone viral on social media. Like, I have videos that have 10, 20 million views. And that's like a totally different ball game than going like reality TV viral. Like, it's very different. And I don't think I was prepared for that as much as I thought I was. I hadn't really shared anything about being divorced. I mean, I gave some allusions. I think like the real ones that have followed me for years and years, like, knew something was up. I had moved. My ex-husband wasn't in any of my stuff anymore, but I definitely did not expect it to be in Inside and Daily Mail. And I mean, it was just like everywhere. I kind of thought it would be funny for me and like my followers, but I don't think I understood the magnifying glass that the show would put on it.
So what happened after you got that attention? Because the show is over at that point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like already filmed everything.
Okay. So what happens then?
Oh man. I like honestly had to take a step back from like reading comments and looking at stuff, just like to protect my mental health. At that point, like, everyone in the cast, we have no idea what's going to be on screen. Like, of course, the people that are there longer have an idea of their storyline or, you know, everything that happened. But even with that, I mean, you're being filmed so much, like, that you're really seeing such a small percentage of it. So there's like the anxiety of like, I just had no idea how they were going to make me look, or what parts of my interviews they were going to use, or what narrative was going to be constructed. Like, it could have gone like, I'm this evil hag who left her husband for fame, or it could have gone like sob story, you know. I had a lot of anxiety about like how it was going to be portrayed. And I somehow got like the best, I think, scenario where it was not mentioned at all in the show. So I got to kind of have ownership of my story in that way. But honestly, like, going on the show, even if I didn't find love. I wanted to be able to use it to show other women who got divorced in their late 20s that, like, your life isn't over. Like, yeah. You don't have to be, I don't know, this stereotype of, like, oh, you're washed up and no one wants you anymore. Like, yeah. I hoped that I would get to share some of my story. But that's okay that it didn't happen, because now I get to own it.
Yeah. No, I love that. In your post, when you post your cast photo and you say, like, hard launching my divorce, were there people in your life that didn't know and that's how they learned?
I would say, like, everyone super close to me, like my family and my close friends that I talk to regularly, also my close friends on Instagram, they knew, because I pretty much shared there. But there were definitely a lot of people, like acquaintances, most of my following. You know, you don't always see everything your friends post on social media, and people have their own lives going on. So I'm sure there were a lot of people that had no idea.
Yeah. Did your ex-husband reach out?
Did not. I did get a mean comment from his mom's best friend. But I was hands off on that, and I let other people give their responses to that. So,
okay.
I think in hindsight, it felt very cathartic, and like a kind of trying to be humorous in the way that I was sharing it. I'm also, like, not going to apologize for being divorced and, like, having the experience I have. And I think I'm allowed to share that however I want. So I get that there's going to be people that think that I'm a huge bitch for the way I announced that. But at the end of the day, like, I'm the only one, and my ex-husband are the only ones that know anything behind the scenes, behind closed doors. So I think knowing that, I feel okay about how it all played out.
Yeah. So you get on the show. On set, you were there for 2 weeks. Well, in TV world, you went home week two. In total, how much time did you get with Zach?
Probably less than maybe 15 minutes. Maybe. Oh, like, there's, like, people everywhere and there's cameras and it's, like, 3 a.m. and you're, like, on your third Celsius of the day and you're just, like, it's like there's no, I feel like I lost all sense of time. But I mean, yeah, our conversations we had were very short, and I knew I was going home the night I went home, I feel like. So yeah, it's very weird, the time aspect, because it goes by really fast, but you also don't have any clocks anywhere. So you're like,
it's just so crazy how little time you actually get with the lead.
I don't think I expected that. I honestly didn't. I think, like, I did talk to Susie before the show, just to, like, hear her experience and if she thought it was a good idea. And obviously she had a much different experience.
Yeah.
Being there till the very end. So I think I did not expect how, like, controlled it is and who gets to talk. And yeah, I was not prepared for that. I kind of thought it would be a little bit more unstructured.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, every move. It's crazy.
My sweet summer chicken. I had no idea.
Aw. Who did you see as front runners during the time you were in the house?
Honestly, Christina. Like, from the second she was on the Women's Hall, or not the Women's Hall, the final, after the final rose, when she met Zach. And it's funny because one of my friends, we were watching it at our bachelor night, and she was like, she seems like someone you'd be friends with. And, like, we immediately hit it off in the house. But the first night after Katie talked to him, we were, like, talking in front of the pool, and she was so giddy. And, like, she was like, we kissed, and was, like, telling, you know, recounting the whole thing. And I was like, oh, you're getting engaged. Like, I just had this weird feeling, just, like, the way she was talking about him. I was like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's interesting you bring up Christina, because the craziest thing to me is that they allowed Zach to send her home as early as he did, because I feel like she was a crime. She was TV gold, and we didn't get enough of Christina Mandrell. Christina Mandrell, if you're watching, please come back to TV. We miss you. Come with
need the Christina Mandrell show. I'm telling
for real.
You.
I remember thinking like when she was getting like a lot of screen time for that like brief period of time. I'm like, oh, well, she's going to be Bachelorette. That's why they're doing this.
I thought that night one when I found out so I came in the last limo, by the way. So I get there after that's how I also was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, you know, I'm an auxiliary character at this point, but, yeah, when Christina came in a Bachelorette party bus, I was like, that would be a convenient setup.
So she was part of the drama during that period of time. What was your take on what was actually going on with Christina and the other women? Because it seemed very, to a viewer, like forced and made into something that it wasn't.
I think the people who were involved in the commentary on it genuinely believe and like felt the way they felt, for sure. I think with that environment, I think people have to realize that you're influenced by a lot of different factors in how you perceive things and how you talk about them. I did not witness like firsthand a lot of it, because a lot of it happened right after I left. I remember though, night one, people already were having a bad taste. Like, I think Brianna with the dress comment, and I was hearing bits and pieces of that. And I remember talking to her and being like, I don't think she meant it like that. Like, I think we're all just really excited and, you know, totally get that that would hurt your feelings, that she doesn't know you like that. But yeah. I think one of the reasons Christina and I connected is because I am also the person that a lot of times people think that I'm being rude or I'm being mean. Just, I don't know. I don't know if it's the ADHD and the lack of filter, but like, I've definitely had people think that I'm making a snarky comment at them when I'm like giving them a genuine compliment. And I had no idea.
I've had that too. I get that.
Dude, it has happened to me my whole life and I don't know what it is. So I think when I met Christina, I saw that, and I saw that she was one of those people that's just like drinking from a fire hose, and that's why I loved her. But I think that doesn't sit well with a lot of women, and especially in that really high pressure environment. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but I think I saw it coming, but it's like, what do you do? You can't do anything about it. I honestly thought when I left that that drama was squished between Christina and Brianna. But it just like continued on, like kind of unnecessarily, it seems like.
Wait, you bring up Brianna. I was blanking on who you were talking about for a second, but now I remember. My co-host and I like are dying to talk to her, but she's kind of gone off the grid. And do you know, like,
no. Okay, so okay. There was that birthday thing she did, and I think that was like not cool with the franchise. I don't know.
Wait, what's the birthday thing?
What are you talking about?
No, well,
she posted a birthday special that was like, honestly, it was really well done. It was like a little kind of like joke on being on the show about her birthday. God, I don't know. This feels like it was such a long time ago. It was like filmed and produced kind of like an After the Final Rose vibe, or like, but it was just her.
A Brianna.
Yeah. Do you not want to, am I like hallucinating?
No. So you're saying she hosted something. You're talking not on the show. This is something
like totally separate, but then it like disappeared. And so I don't know if she like got in trouble. I don't know what the vibe is. I know that, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I know that she was invited to the Women's Hall All and turned it down because she was on vacation. But
okay.
Then I think the narrative was that she didn't come because of Christina. And I don't know if that's true or not, because I didn't talk to her. And I would hate for anyone to feel like they like couldn't show up because they were going to be like jumped. But I think, I honestly have no idea. I mean, I don't think I would want to be super involved in everything if, how everything played out for her went for me. Like, that would, I think people were really mean on the internet too.
Well, it's just for the listeners who may be unsure of who we're talking about. So this is Brianna Thorborn, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but she was the one, she was America's first impression rose. She was the girl that America literally voted on, and she like walked into the house with a rose. I just was so surprised by what happened with her because she was put on such a pedestal, and for her to like just leave the way she did and then like go without a trace, doesn't come to the women tell all and like doesn't seem to be speaking out about anything.
Yeah, I think she's on the younger side too, so like honestly I cannot fathom 24-year-old me going through this experience. Like I think it would have absolutely like slayed my soul to like see mean comments about me on the internet. Like I feel so lucky that I've already kind of been, I don't know, baptized by fire by the internet, and the mean comments are not as impactful. And I feel like I'm at a place now today where I know who I am and I'm not super worried about the opinions of people online. And I know it's very fleeting, but like, I cannot imagine being 24, 23, 25. Like that version of me could not have handled this. So like, I definitely feel for the people that like really suffered after the show, just dealing with the like insane media attention.
Oh yeah. No, I couldn't handle it now.
I really could handle it. Like it was so much more than I anticipated.
Yeah. So I heard that you had your bags packed for Paradise, but you didn't end up going. What happened? You did say it.
I would love to know. I have no idea.
But so you had your bags packed. Were you talking to them and then they just ghosted you, or what actually happened?
I was told it's not going to work out this year, maybe next year.
Was that after they teased that maybe you could go? Like, were you under the impression you could go and then that happened?
I had a flight 5 hours later.
Oh.
I was fresh spray tan. I was actually, this is how I found out. My best friend came over. She's helping me pack, right? You know, you're doing like the trying on the outfit and being like, should I bring this? And I'm like, butt naked, fresh spray tan. Cause like I'm transparent. And I was like, I have to, you know, get my mystic tan on before I get there. And I'm like running around my apartment naked, trying on stuff. And I look at my phone and I have a text. I have two missed calls and a text at like midnight that's like, hey, it's not going to work out this year. Like maybe next year. And I was like, I looked up and I went, yeah, I'm not going. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm not going. Like,
so you said that you had a flight. Was it paid for by ABC?
Yeah. Like they, for the whole show, for everything, they do everything. Like they book it.
I know. I'm just surprised. Like,
maybe they got a refund. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
like, did they cancel it? Like, how does that work?
After seeing the season, I think they go through, I'm sure they go through travel agents. Like, I know that's how it works with like agencies, or like when I do brand trips and stuff, like they have travel agents book it all. And I bet travel agents have good travel insurance. So I'm sure they didn't hurt too much for that ticket, but
okay.
I don't know if it's because of how the relationships were playing out. Like, I think I got the impression that people that I would have been interested in were either no longer there or in a relationship. So I don't know if that's a factor, but then after watching the season, I was like, what? Because it didn't seem like he was really that rock solid.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, because that season that you were not able to go on got a lot of criticism, and maybe the reason why Bachelor in Paradise maybe not coming back. I don't know if that's permanent, but like it got a lot of criticism. And for me, I know as a viewer, I don't want to watch people force along relationships because they know they stay on the show. And I feel like they should be doing things to kind of change the rules a little bit to kind of spice it up, because now everyone knows how to like play the game and it's not interesting to watch, which is why we saw exactly what happened. And like there were a lot of couples that made it to the last day, but a lot of them broke up the last day. And you have to wonder, like, why didn't you leave a week ago? Because you wanted to stay on the show. So like, what's your take on how that season played out and the criticism?
Yeah, I mean, I just got that impression talking, and I'm gonna say, I don't think it's like conscious, like I'm gonna lie to like stay longer. I think that that's just like naturally, like the instinct is like you're taking your time and your energy and away from your life to do this thing, like might as well make the most of it. Like you're on vacation in Mexico, like I would want to stay as long as I could too. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anyone's doing it out of like malicious intent. I just think, yeah, obviously it's like you want to be there if you're gonna be there. I think I got that impression of it being like any new people go home just talking to other people who went in. It was like, oh, everyone's going home immediately after they get brought in, which is crazy. Was there anyone that stayed? Even the guys, I feel like, went home like 2 weeks later, or like it was pretty like quick turnaround when new people came in.
Like they come down, not like original cast, you mean? I don't remember. I mean, yeah, I guess like, no, John Henry definitely wasn't original cast and he got engaged that season.
Yeah, that's
off the
true,
top of my head.
Minute, like the last point where you could like stay longer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought, I just remember thinking like, well, I'm glad that I didn't do it if I would have just been there for like a week and left like embarrassed. And I honestly like had a lot of anxiety going into it just because of my experience on the original season, with going home so quickly and like definitely leaving feeling like, what, well, why did I not get a shot? You know, like, I think there is that feeling that, like, naturally, I think everyone's going to have a little bit of that feeling. So I think going into it, I was like, do I really want to like put myself through this and like have the potential to be embarrassed and feel that magnifying glass again, and also have that waiting period? Like, to me, the waiting period between filming and when it airs was like hell. Like, I don't think I would do that. I don't think I want to do that again, just because it's so much like, what are they going to show? Like, how are they going to
Between filming and airing, you're saying?
Yeah, because I think anyone that's been a villain on reality TV did not leave that season thinking that they were a villain. And it's like shocking. And like, I was like, I don't want to do that. I know that I have the potential to come across as mean naturally. So I probably gave them a lot of stuff to work with if they wanted to. I mean, I can only filter my brain so much. So I think there's a lot of factors in why it didn't work out. And I think people staying so long in relationships that didn't work out was really like the factor that people kind of lost interest.
Yeah. And also the timing, how the final couples all like every day, it was like one, another one, another one, another one. And it was the pile on made it so much worse.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Cause then it's like, well, what could they do from a production standpoint to make it more interesting? I personally would love to see an element of competition in there, kind of like
Bachelor Pad.
What show is that? The Perfect Match, right? No. Which one did they like compete? Yeah, Bachelor. That was it, right? Yeah.
I said Bachelor Pad. Like that was the original.
I've never seen Bachelor Pad.
Oh, so my God. Well, I always talk about it on this show. So Bachelor Pad was a mix of Bachelor in Paradise, but also they were competing for money and there were like alliances and voting people off. So when you were being strategic, it was part of the show. Now we're watching people be strategic and it's not part of the show. You're not supposed to, like, I don't know, when people give out friendship roses on this show, that's like, it's kind of cheating, but like you have a strategy to stay on the show.
I feel like we can't fault the contestants because they're being allowed to do it. Like anything that's on screen is allowed.
For sure. Oh, I always fault ABC. Are you kidding?
That's why this isn't an ABC approved podcast.
Oh no, no. Well, we expose all the behind the scenes that they don't want to expose. But yeah, I definitely think a competition element is something they need to spice it up. And what is your take on Gary and Teresa?
Oh, it makes me, okay. So as a fellow divorcee, I think it's really shitty going through a divorce in the public eye, no matter like how long your marriage was, especially like in this sense that like it was so public and like the wedding was public and the dating was public and everything's just like, again, through a magnifying glass. And yeah, I mean, even just having the commentary on my divorce 2 years afterwards was hurtful. So I cannot imagine having to like see the comments and, you know, announce your divorce on freaking Good Morning America. Like that is a nightmare. So people saying like, oh, they just did this, like they just got married for clout. Like, I think there is the like, oh, you get swept up in it. And there's a lot of people around you that are yes men that are, I'm sure, encouraging what's going to be best for television. But at the end of the day, they're the ones that had to freaking announce their divorce on Good Morning America and go through it. So,
yeah,
it's messy. I do not wish that on anyone.
Yeah. And I said in a recent episode too, like now I feel like people are being unnecessarily hard on them. Like at the end of the day,
be nice to them.
But like also like all couple, like I'm like, why are we all clutching our pearls acting like all tons of bachelor couples break up after a short period of time. So I understand we were holding them to higher standards. And like, you did just have a televised wedding. I understand that the stakes were definitely different in this case, but it happens. And I feel like, yes, it was shocking, but past the shock, I think we need to leave them alone.
I agree. God, like, imagine being this mean to, like, your grandpa. Like, also, I think that generation also doesn't have as natural of an understanding of social media. Like, it's something that's integrated into our daily lives and, like, how we grew up. Like, for them, it's, like, not as innate and just all of it, like, oh, it makes me sad. Like, just like, you don't know what happens behind the scenes in these relationships. Also, like, that's my hill I'll die on, is anytime someone gets divorced, like, I want what's best for people, and if that's what they decided is best for them, go for it. I've been in that situation, so yeah. Maybe not the exact same one, but I don't know, I just don't think people make decisions like that on a whim and in the public eye. Like,
yeah, there were a lot of factors there. I think it's interesting your point about like they didn't grow up with social media, so I hope that because of that they can put that away. Like, it would be difficult for us to like ignore commentary online, but hopefully Gary can like turn off his phone for a couple of days. Like, what's the difference? It doesn't matter.
I think I said at one point to my friends when I was getting a lot of hate, like right when the cast was announced, like, I mean, I feel like I've heard it all about my body, my face, my voice, my eyebrows, everything, anyone, I've heard every mean comment I think anyone could ever make about me. But I came to the realization in January when the cast was announced, if I don't read it, it doesn't exist.
I love that. Like, I love that.
It doesn't exist. Like, I have not perceived it. Like, a lot of girls in my class were looking at Reddit and I was like, oh, girly girl, you cannot do that. Like, I think I learned that early on TikTok, is like, you don't want to know. You just don't want to know. And ignorance is bliss, and live your life.
Also, like, just because I'm the worst at this, so I'm going to like preach, but also I don't take my own advice, but whatever. Like, just because someone says something about you doesn't make it true. I feel like we can look at Reddit sometimes and be like, oh, everyone feels this. And it's like, is it everyone? Or is it like a handful of people having a conversation on an anonymous thread? And I don't know. I feel like we need to realize that with every hater, there's probably 10 times the amount of lovers. They just don't speak out as much.
I think the human brain like hones in on the negativity and is like, you know, we all want validation. We all want love. Like, I think anyone that's like, oh, you love attention. Like, yeah, everyone loves attention. Like, come on. Like, everyone wants to feel like they're part of something and appreciated. And when you get that like negativity, I do think it makes you question yourself. And a lot of times when it plays on insecurities that you already have, like, it just amplifies them. But I do agree that the negative comments, for every one negative one, there's 10 people that have something positive that was left unsaid. And I've even experienced that. Like, I ran into a girl that follows me in Dallas, and I was like, oh my God, like, have we ever talked to each other, like, in DMs? And she was like, no, like, I've never, like, interacted with you or anything. And I'm like, you just don't realize that there's so many more people cheering you on than you see.
It's so true. I'll get messages, people, like, I've had this podcast for almost 3 years, and I'll get messages, and it'll be the first time we've ever interacted, and they'll say, like, oh, I'm a day one listener, like, I've been listening since day one, and you've helped me so much through XYZ. And I'm like, this is the first time I'm hearing from you after almost 3 years. And like, that's there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you don't know that those people exist if they don't speak out.
Yeah. And on that note, I think it's very interesting. I say this all the time, that people, like, watch something and feel the, like, need to write something mean out and then send it and then put it on the internet where it's going to live forever. And it's, like, attached to their IP address. Like, it's like, I just have never, I guess I was bullied my whole life growing up. So I have never felt the need to, like, write out something that's so, like, just nasty and send it.
So no, this is,
like, it just blows my mind.
This is such a hot topic for me, because we talk about it. I'm actually wearing our own merch. The front says touch grass and the back says it's not that serious, because this, our whole movement is about, like, if someone steals The Bachelor away from someone on a one-on-one day, you know, like, it's not that serious, guys. Like, you don't have to go tell them to off themselves because you're upset by what they did in a group date. Like, people need to, like, go outside and touch grass so badly.
Yes. No, that. And I think I said this on my close friends when people were reaching out to me being like, are you okay? Like, I saw the Daily Mail and, like, all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, like, we're literally on a rock hurtling through time and space. We actually have no idea what the hell we're doing here. Like, we have theories, like, we have a lot of theories on why we exist, but no one actually knows. And, you know, it's just, it is what it is. So it isn't that serious.
It really isn't. And I love the, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. That's so true.
Yeah. It's like head in the sand. Like, that's my motto now. Except, you know what? Okay. I have shifted my mindset in this because, I mean, this is kind of something that a lot of content creators like work with, is, what do they call it? Like, hate bait, or what do they call it? There's a word for it. Rage baiting, where people will, like, make content. It's in a lot of clickbaity stuff, like on Reels and TikTok, but it's where they make something that they know is going to be controversial so that people argue about it in the comments, which means their video is looping in the background. And then also things like, you see it where they say a word really wrong, or they spell it wrong, or maybe they're doing a list and they put four twice. Like, content creators are very smart and they do these things so that people will argue in the comments, because controversy creates visibility, essentially. So now when I get mean comments, if they're about me, my favorite thing to do is agree with them. So if someone's like, you are such an ugly hag, I'm like, I know, right? Like, can you believe I have to look at this in the mirror every day? Like, I have to work with me. They're like, oh, she's so crazy. It's like, no, yeah, my therapist thinks so too, honestly. Like,
that's so funny.
Like, I like the, like, comeback of, no, you're right. Like, yeah. I am. Like, so what? Recently, I was told I look transgender, which I was like, imagine thinking that that's an insult in 2024, first of all. But just, like, the most unhinged. And then my other favorite thing to do is, like, make them explain what they mean. Like, so what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
And then just make them. And then they comment more. And then you just make more views off of it.
What's so funny is they don't realize that by commenting, they're actually helping you.
They're getting you paid. I literally say that too. I'm like, keep arguing with me. Like, I'm making money off of your comments. Like, and then they just keep going.
It's insane. So what, can we talk for a second about, you're a full-time content creator?
Yeah, so I've ebbed and flowed over the years. I was doing makeup full time for a while. I still do take clients. It's been hard because I've been traveling a lot. I have done I've done a lot of social media consulting, and right now I'm basically working in a really small agency for a select number of clients with one of my friends. I kind of have my hands on a lot of different pots, but a lot of it goes back to social media.
Okay. Would you be willing to share the most lucrative brand deal that you've done?
Oh man. So there's like a lot of different types of structures for brand deals. Long-term ones are obviously going to be more lucrative because it's more consistent income, but technically like the posts are valued at a lot less. I would say like my most valuable brand deal I've done, like the value, the amount I was paid for a post was, I think 10K before my agency fee. So I have an agent that runs my life. Like, she's amazing. And I wish I had gotten her sooner because, I mean, she just helps me. It's shout out Jen. She helps me in every way. Like, she's incredible. So she deserves every penny of the 20% she gets.
Okay. Well, that's amazing too. So was it like a static Instagram post? What was it?
It was a TikTok. So okay. There's such a discretion in the rate of TikTok and Instagram. And I mean, one of my friends has like a rate calculator that I recommend people to use because there's so many factors like white labeling and content rights. If you're listening to this and you want to be a content creator, never sign away rights in perpetuity to anything. That means they own it forever and they can do whatever the hell they want with it. So I think, I don't even know what I was saying. ADHD. It was a static post. It was a TikTok.
No,
post
TikTok.
White TikTok with boosting rights for 90 days, I think, which makes it more valuable.
Right. Okay. Interesting. And you're in a relationship today now, right? How's it going?
Amazing. So I definitely have a lot of peace with the way everything played out with Paradise, because I would not be where I'm at today with Kevin had I gone through that. Like, I think it would have been so hard to date in the wake of all of that. And then, you know, we were already seeing each other by the time Paradise was airing. So yeah, just the timing of it, it would have been really hard to.
Yeah.
Into a relationship, but
everything happens for a reason.
It really does. Like, I had this weird anxiety about Paradise as I was packing, like right before I saw that I wasn't going. I was telling my friend, I was like, I don't want to go. Like, I had this like pit in my stomach. I just did not feel good about it, and I almost felt relieved when I got the message. And I feel like it all works out. Like, that's why. Like, it wasn't meant for me. I think it was a little bit of good validation that it's like, I had the chance to do it and, you know, it didn't work out, but something better came along.
Right. Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm happy that you got the happy ending. I'm happy that things didn't work out so this could work out. And that's obviously the path that you're supposed to be on. Can you tell our listeners where they can go keep up with you if they're not already following you?
Yes. So on Instagram, it's at Victoria Jameson. That's Jameson with an E, like the whiskey. And then on TikTok, it's just at Victoria. And you might have to scroll a little bit to find me because it ranks me lower for having a shorter name. So
just Victoria? I mean, I follow you, but I didn't realize it's just Victoria.
Yeah. So it's just, I've actually been on TikTok since it was Musical.ly in 2016. So like, that was my like original platform. That's where I grew for everything. So,
but it wasn't the same. It's not like you don't carry the followers over to TikTok.
Yeah, you did. For Musical.ly, yeah. I think I had around 100,000 followers on Musical.ly when it was purchased and rebranded. Yeah, like me and my ex-husband were invited to the rebrand party when TikTok was purchased. Yeah. Wow. So we go way back in that world. But yeah, so at Victoria on TikTok. I'm on YouTube. I don't really post there much, but it's just my name. I just remembered something. I have a podcast coming out.
What's it called?
So name is still secret, but I'm basically relaunching my podcast that I had for 3 years before I went on the show.
Cool.
I interview content creators and social media personalities about their experiences.
Oh, cool.
So if you guys want updates on that and the rebrand, check out my Instagram. I'm sure it'll be everywhere once it gets released.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. This was so nice to get to know you a little bit better. And guys, go follow Victoria. She's a great content creator and is putting out a lot of great stuff.
I'm really funny most of the time.
Thank you so much. Love it.